What's up, everybody? Are you tuning in to the Challenge USA on CBS? Well, tune in to me, Tyson Apostle, as I break down each and every episode with my co-host, Amelia Wedemeyer. I'm also a contestant on the show, which gives you all the insider scoop. Amelia, how stoked are you to do this?
Tyson, I'm freaking excited. I cannot wait to sit my butt down every single week to watch the show, then come here and recap it with you on the Ringer Reality TV podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Welcome to Bachelor Party. This is the B-side. I'm Juliette Littman. There's some important news that I need to address since Callie and I spoke on Monday evening. Other than that, we've got some bits and bobs. Lots going on in Bachelor Nation. I'd say it's fairly busy for the doldrums of summer, but, you know, that's why we're here. We live for this. And to discuss it all, I'm joined by my colleague, the one, the only, Amelia Wedemeyer. Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Juliet.
How are you?
Oh, wow.
Jinx.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I need to address something. Was said on Monday night between Callie and I. I was so sure of myself, and many people have pointed out how wrong I was. Amelia, I was certain that Jesse Palmer's wonderful French pronunciations and seeming just facility with the language was due to him being a consummate host. I was certain.
Sure.
This broadcaster was just rolling with the punches. And I was like, no, he doesn't speak French. And thank you to the many, many people pointed out how wrong I likely am. Jesse Palmer is Canadian, as we know, because we discussed that when he came on Bachelor Party and I was forever impacted by his beautiful green eyes. As a result, as many people pointed out, he is from Ottawa, where many people, as they go through school, study French. So Jesse probably speaks a little French, if not a lot. So,
cool.
Jesse, I apologize for underestimating you. Canadians, I apologize for forgetting about this wonderful fact of Canadian life.
Sure.
I wish I was like approaching bilingual. That seems cool.
That would be cool. I mean, I will say we did get a few comments in the DMs. However, I do want to bring this up. One, I don't find it that big of a deal whether or not he speaks French. So I don't think it's warranted to be like, actually,
I got a lot of messages about it, like way more than I usually do. Yeah,
weird.
I don't know why it's weird, but whatever. I'm glad to be corrected. No problem being wrong on this podcast, but people were passionate about explaining that Jesse speaks French.
They are. And what's interesting to me is that they will say that they will DM the Bachelor Party Instagram and then they'll spell your name completely wrong. They'll spell it in the French way. Like, with two T's. Yes. And I want to be like, okay, well, if you're going to complain about this, maybe you should get the spelling of the host's name correct. But I mean, whatever.
I appreciate you, Amelia. That's why you're a great teammate. Always got my back.
Just saying. So.
Amelia, you were the president of the Jesse Palmer fan club long before I came along. How are you feeling about him in his second season?
It's hard because I think for any host, this is probably, it's a great gig.
Sure.
Do I think Jesse is contributing in any meaningful way? Not really. And I say that with all peace and love. I think he is a fun host. I love him on the Food Network, but he's really not doing anything other than just like happy to be here, happy that the check was cashed and you guys can do whatever the heck you want, which is like, whatever, that's fine. But I don't really think he's adding anything. And again, I guess it is a critique, but it's just like, we don't even really need a host for this show. And so in a way, he's doing his job.
One thing I've been considering.
Yeah.
Is it time to just have the like faceless voiceover, like the circle? You know, like the way that Michelle Buteau is like the voice of the circle.
Sure.
Should there just be like the voice of the cruise, the voice of the mansion?
Oh,
like,
the voice of the... Yeah, that would be cool.
Similar to Too Hot to Handle, the way they just have like the... the Alexa. Like the lava lamp. Yeah, the Alexa. Yeah. It's yeah. Like, yeah, Alexa meets lava lamp. I always assumed that the Alexa lava lamp was to make it easy to translate because it's very easy to dub over Alexa versus a human.
Sure.
That was just always my guess, but... Oh my God. My Alexa is speaking in the background because I keep saying Alexa.
Oh my God.
My bad. Funny. Anyway, I was just thinking that. I think you need a host for this show. Like otherwise,
sure.
you need some kind of through line, but I agree with you. He doesn't contribute. But on the other hand, I think when we had Caitlin and Tayshia, I was like,
they contributed a little too much?
Well, they contributed like... They were too present, but their net impact was still zero, if not negative.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I would rather have a Jesse who is like doesn't really know what he's doing.
No expectations.
Exactly. Than have people trying to be funny or trying to add something when there really doesn't need to be anything added to a 2-hour show that's already kind of like it's two
too
hours.
Long.
It's a little long. Yeah, exactly.
I also do enjoy just the farce of like Logan sitting down with Jesse to confess how he's feeling and then not actually leave. I mean, Callie and I talked about this. I think that they're just like, sorry, you can't go, dude. It'll throw off the numbers too soon. We need you to stay. Also,
yeah.
maybe they couldn't get off the cruise. Which
maybe, yeah.
Brings me to my next point of clarification. We wondered, was Jesse staying on the cruise? Callie didn't think so because who'd want to stay on a giant cruise ship like that? Many people, apparently, I did some research. Jesse, in fact, did stay on the cruise.
He's a man of the people.
He's a man of the people. He really is. I read, perhaps on Reddit, maybe somewhere else, the guys couldn't really use most of the facilities. Like they had to stay in like a very few number of rooms. And they were on separate floors. Which just sounds like a crazy mind game. It's kind of like, you know, you're on this giant vessel, but you have to stay in a very contained space. I mean, that
sounds miserable.
Really, really weird to me. I don't really get it. I don't know. The whole boat thing, I've talked about this a lot. It's just so confusing to me.
It's confusing. And I just, there was no one else on this ginormous cruise. It was just the Bachelor people and production.
I believe so, as far as I can tell.
That Taylor Swift is somewhere applauding because that is such a horrible waste of resources. And like that, you just, oh my God, increased your carbon footprint by infinite numbers. That's wild. That's so irresponsible. I'm sorry. That actually makes me upset.
It's crazy.
Pretty bad.
I believe they were on the Valiant Lady. If I was looking into this, I was just like, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I think, yes.
Well, actually, sorry to interrupt you, but as you know, I run the Twitter account for Bachelor Party and I did a little pic of Rachel because she looked like Regina George when she was looking out at
She did look like her.
The ocean,
I love that.
Right? Isn't
yes.
that funny?
I think also part of it was she was wearing the flare jeans, just like Regina George.
And then
George wears like the boat neck sweater and she's wearing
the shoulder.
Yeah. She's wearing the one shouldered sweater. So it's sort of like an offbeat sweater. That was great work by you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm a huge Mean Girls fan. But interestingly enough, I bring this up because Virgin Voyages, the verified account, replied and they were like, and she's doing it on our fabulous massive suite, part of our mega rockstar quarters on Virgin Voyages. And I was like, okay, thanks. Thank you.
Virgin Voyages are adult only cruises. So like, I just got to say, if Virgin and Warner Brothers are not working together to create like celebrity cruise, but it's Bachelor Nation. I don't know. People should be fired. It's just sitting right there for them. I mean,
that's actually a good point.
Don't you think a lot of people would pay to basically like have paradise?
Be on a Bachelor cruise? Yes.
Be on a Bachelor
cruise.
Totally. 100%. Yes. And you just like, you know, for the same people, I think that's like a way better use of everyone's time than the Bachelor Live Tour. Bachelor Cruise.
Yeah. Because also, that is actually a good point. Yeah.
You totally can get content out of it. And
oh, totally.
They don't even need to be that long. And like, there's so many Bachelor people who could be on it. They could like switch in and out. And
like what are they doing?
It,
yeah.
You bill it as like, it's real life paradise, but on a boat. And that,
you're giving them free stuff. Yeah. Free ads. Oh my God. That really does. Because I know that the Property Brothers had a cruise. I know, yes. Backstreet Boys had a cruise.
Oh, Amelia, I'm very familiar. I have a personal prohibition against going on cruises, but I've watched a lot of YouTube videos of the Backstreet Boys cruise as a super fan. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And they could do like little offshoots of like, you know, meet Franco LaCosta and have him style you or like some dumb stuff like that, you know?
Or yeah, getting to reenact some of the dates they've done, like on the Caribbean or whatever.
Fun.
Yeah. Especially if it's like adults only. Like I don't know what we're doing if not the Bachelor Cruise. So Warner Brothers, you're welcome. Get on it. All right. Some more bits and bobs that I want to hit. So Hayden, I was worried. I'm not a dog person, so I'm not a sociopath, but I'm not a dog person. I was worried that my lack of empathy for like someone's pet being terminally ill was clouding my opinion about Hayden. So I was delighted to see the fan reaction this week, just be like, this MF-er who's citing his dog. I was really happy about that.
Yeah.
So thank you, Bachelor Nation, for being sane in at least one respect. Right.
It's pretty disgusting the way he used his dying dog as like a prop to propel him forward in the weeks to come. And not only that, but just like, if you really cared as much about your dog as you say you do, you wouldn't be on The Bachelorette. Like,
seriously,
it's just, that's crazy to me.
He brought the dog's like favorite chew toy, depriving the dog of his toy.
Truly, that is so messed up.
It's so bizarre. And so then he apologized on Monday night. However, plot twist, he's deleted the apology. It's gone.
It's gone. It's nowhere to be seen. It's just absolutely sociopath behavior.
He's the sociopath, not me.
Right.
Yeah, it's truly shocking. I don't even know what to say, but I just wanted to note it because I thought it was such a ridiculous turn of events. In fact, I didn't even realize you told me about it, but like, he's got to be one of the most hated people to ever go on the show. I think like universally reviled. There's nothing redeeming about him.
And the thing is, there really doesn't need to be a discourse around him either.
No.
Because I think sometimes there is discourse around these people. There was discourse around Greg. You remember that whole thing? And, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But for Hayden, it's like either you're a sane person and you know this man is just plain psychotic and evil, or you're his mom and you're like, I love him. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things.
I think the combination of him being mad at Rachel for not responding the way that he wanted her to.
Oh.
And then obviously comparing her to his girlfriend and allegedly making a comment about Rachel's breasts, and then calling Gabby rough around the edges, and also not understanding that just because you do like a self-deprecating joke, you doesn't mean that like you're giving other people permission to use it against you. There's really like no way to flip it to be like, well, actually, like the production has made him look bad. Like, that's what I think you were getting at with like Greg and other people.
Totally. Yeah.
But Hayden just said a lot of really just ugly things. So
really vile. Just like, how dare you say that?
Yes.
Like, you suck. Like, there's nothing else to be said other than there is no excuse. You're a shitty person and I never want to see you on my television ever again.
Yeah. Agreed. Gabby and Rachel appeared on Bachelor Happy Hour, the official Bachelor podcast, earlier this week. They said something really important that many people have been wondering about. So week two, as you probably recall, Rachel sends home Jordan, the drag car racer.
Oh, yes.
We had a lot of questions about why she was able to do that. Like, didn't she need Gabby's permission? Like, what was this lawlessness? So they asked on the show, and it turns out that Gabby was, she gave the okay. Rachel called her from the date. Gabby had been sleeping, and she like talked to her about it, and Gabby said, yeah, that's fine. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Also, I thought it was interesting that they clarified, because I'm sure that that was like a response to...
People asking,
and they often like kind of ignore the audience in that way. So I was kind of surprised by that. But that's just a clarification I was really glad to get. Thank you so much, Gabby and Rachel.
That's interesting, because see, I don't care. When I saw that, I was like, okay, great, next. But but I'm happy that people got a clarification if they didn't, you know?
I really enjoy how much Gabby and Rachel are. It doesn't even seem like they're going out of their way, which is what I was about to say, but. Mm-hmm. I just really appreciate that Gabby and Rachel, their friendship really does seem genuine. Mm-hmm. And it would be a lot harder to watch this season if we knew that they now hated each other or they were like now on bad terms. So
totally,
you know, I'm relieved by that. And I also just find it like really heartwarming. I love friendship. So
definitely. Well, I think also it's one of those things, and I know we make fun of it a lot. It's like, how can this person be your best friend after knowing them after two weeks? But I do think in life, and I've had this happen numerous times, and I'm sure you have as well, where you meet people and you just like click right off the bat. And I think these two girls just clicked. And not only that, they are bound by trauma from a one Clayton, whatever the heck his last name is, who, can I just say really quickly, because please, I haven't been on this podcast in a while, the amount of people becoming upset over the... quote unquote, I'm not going to call it bullying, but the perceived bullying that happened in the first episode where like those teens were singing a song about how he sucks and stuff. I was like, you're really going to get upset about that? Serious? After what he did to them? And also, that's not bullying. Like, you need to check your definition. You need to go to dictionary.com and type in bullying and really read the real definition there.
Also, they did move on from it fairly quickly. Also,
and that too.
All the men knew by Gabby and Rachel at that point was that they had been through this with Clayton. I agree with you. I didn't really think it was that big of a deal. It's, and also, like Clayton's fine. And also, his last name is Eckard. I forgot, but I just remembered as we were talking.
Got it. It's just I
didn't really care. I just was like, okay, like, let's move on with him because I don't like him. But it just wasn't
right.
Wasn't a big
deal. Well, that's another thing. It's like, why are we dwelling on this man? Like, I never want to see his face again. So, you know.
I really find it surprising that they are still together, honestly. I really didn't think they would last this long. Yeah. I don't know why, but I just didn't have a lot of faith in them.
You know, I don't really have any thoughts. I'm sorry. I just don't care.
You eliminated them from your consciousness.
I really, you know, once these seasons roll over, I'm just like, nope, got to move some stuff around in the brain to, you know. for more trashy reality television. Yeah.
All right, next, we're moving on to talking about some Bachelor Nation alums. First, Nate from Michelle's season, Michelle's ex-fiancé.
Right.
He went on Rodney's family vacation. And I just have to say, I think this is adorable. I
love it.
I love it too. He like went kayaking with them. And I don't know, just like all this cute stuff. I really liked it.
That's sweet.
I still like Nate. There were these rumors that he was dating Deandra or something like that.
Oh.
Because he like touched her leg in a video, but
okay.
Heard a photo. I don't know. But I just thought that was really cute. It was a good reminder to me that I gotta get some back contestants on. Like, here's my long list. Rodney.
Yes.
Andrew S.
Sure, yeah.
Nate? I'd like to talk to Nate.
You're like, no.
I don't know. At first, I was like, I don't know. But yeah, both of them. Justin from Katie's season.
Justin.
He was Final Four, but like we knew almost nothing about him.
Yes, that's why
you can't remember him right now.
Yeah, the faces.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to talk to all those guys, but I think a lot of them will be on Paradise. So we'll have to see. That seems like it could be a fall project.
I would also love if Greg came on the podcast.
Yes. Me too.
Would love that.
I'd also love to have Greg.
Ooh,
as well.
I feel like he would say some great stuff. So,
this episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, Well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Katie and Nick Viall got into yet another spat. Do you know what happened?
Kerfuffle. All I know is, like, honestly, I watched the video and it was such like a non-thing, but people made it into a bigger thing than it really should have been. And it was just like, she was like, he doesn't support me. And Nick was like, I don't like you. And then his girlfriend came in and was like, I have the text receipts and I'm going to spill the tea. So that was it, kind of.
Just tedious. Nick has a book coming out. And as a result, he got like a profile in the style section of the New York Times. I assume this will be in Sunday's paper in a few days.
It's also available online if you want to read it.
It's available online. Yes, that's how I read about it. Same. And Nick is a friend of the pod. However, I would say the journalist who wrote this, Anna Peel, cannot possibly like Nick, because I would say she had some really savage moments in this piece. I mean, I was kind of shocked.
Really?
I don't know why. I don't think the style section, like, usually
is this cutting.
Yeah, like, it's usually, yeah, like, a safe place to be interviewed.
Where was the Brittany Sam Asghari profile? Was that in style? Because that one was pretty rude, too.
When was that?
Oh, this was, like, months ago. This was, like, almost a year ago. But anyway, I'm sorry. I'm off topic.
No,
but anyway.
No, it's a good question. I don't remember. But I do think there's, like, a snobbiness to the style section where it's, like, sure, if you are at a certain, like, if you're closer to, like, use the New York Magazine barometer of, like, if you're closer to lowbrow,
oh, sure,
they're a lot ruder to you. And, like, this is one of the ruder pieces I've read in the style section in a long time. Mm-hmm. Can I just read you a couple of lines from
it? Please, yes.
This was the one that really stood out to me the most. Mr. Viall's home is filled with art, some of which he is more knowledgeable than others. He chose many of the modern pieces himself. But when I asked him about a reproduction print of a painting by Gustav Klimt, Mr. Viall said, pardon me? It emerged that the more classic works were furnished by his girlfriend, Natalie Joy, a 24-year-old model and surgical tech who works for a plastic surgeon who specializes in eye lifts. I was like, there's nothing like using a famous artist to shade someone. It is,
that,
like,
is so true.
It is one of the snootiest and most cutting ways to like, try to indicate someone's level of intellect. And
that is so, that's a great point. It really, like, is.
It is harsh.
It is harsh. And not only that, they just cut down her whole gig, you know, which honestly, I'm surprised they didn't use the whole fact that she got into that Instagram comment post thing with Billie Eilish's older brother, where she literally lifted word for word, several posts from his girlfriend, from Billie Eilish's brother's girlfriend, that she had posted about Phineas. It's
inexplicable.
It's highly embarrassing. And just, that's all I think about when whenever she gets brought up. I don't know. I guess not.
I don't think they did, but yeah, it's honestly inexplicable. Like, I don't really get it. It's like, is this performance art? Like, what's going on here? A few more quotes from the article. This is, again, this is Anna Peel. This is Anna Peel writing. She wrote, when his publicist expressed hesitation that I wanted to go to Mr. Vial's home for interviews, I mentioned other celebrity houses I'd gone to for articles, including Ryan Reynolds. Then, right before I met with Mr. Vial, Mr. Reynolds appeared on the Netflix series My Next Guest Needs No Introduction and made pizza for David Letterman. Was the choice to cook the same thing for me a coincidence? I watched that one, Mr. Vial said, noting that he's been compared to Mr. Reynolds before. I don't know if that makes me narcissistic, but I just think he's really funny and talented. Apparently the pizza was very good. She also added that.
She did add that. That was nice.
Yes. And I'd love some homemade pizza. It sounds pretty great.
It's pretty hard to fuck up pizza, I will say that.
You know, I have never tried. I think if you're making your own dough, there's a lot of room for error, but I assume he was not doing that. Anyway, I just also want to note I'm just going to read the full corrections to you. You know, after they publish something, when there's an error, they update it with the correction at the bottom.
Yes.
It starts off fine. Let me know if anything sticks out to you.
Okay.
An earlier version of this article misidentified the season of The Bachelorette in which Ben Higgins was a contestant. He was on Caitlin Bristow's season, not Andy Dorfman's. The article also referred incorrectly to promotional plans for Nick Vial's book. His public relations team wanted him to appear on Live with Ryan and Kelly. He has not been invited to be a guest on the show. And the article misspelled the given name of a former Bachelor producer. He is Elon Gale, not E-L-O-N.
Rude to Elon Gale, honestly.
Seriously, we don't like name misspellings here, but
we don't.
Savage way of pointing out he has not been invited to be on Live with Regis and Kelly.
Oh my God, yeah.
Kelly and Ryan, excuse me.
That's
tough.
Oh my God. Well, it not only is that tough, but he goes on to say that, you know, I know you're friends with Nick, but he does this thing where it's like, it's a lot of excuses to explain things. And he's just like, well, I don't think that Kelly would like me because I've already been on the show. And I don't think she would like a guy who from The Bachelor writing an advice book for women and just like excuses. And then once again, he mentions Ryan Reynolds, which I thought was funny. Another Ryan Reynolds mention. And
me
it's
too.
Just like, okay, all righty. Just, whew. Yeah.
The funny thing about the Ryan Reynolds comparison is I actually do... I like Ryan Reynolds. I don't like feel strongly about him, but I do think of like Ryan Reynolds as a very specific type of physique archetype, which is sort of, I think Amanda and I've talked about this a lot. I call it like the Ryan Reynolds, which is a guy who's like totally ripped and like so like ridiculous abs, but you're sure if they stopped working out for like a week, they would go away. And like, it's like very hard to maintain. And I say that with... I mean, as someone who barely works out, it's not like I have like some pedestal to stand on here. And it's not like I'm like, you know, look at me. I'm so naturally fit. I'm certainly not. But it's just a very specific Ryan Reynolds thing because I remember when he wasn't like that.
And now totally.
And so I just thought it was funny that that for that reason that Nick keeps referring to him. Nick is also very in shape, as we know from his Instagram.
Sure. And he's getting more tattoos as the days march on. I think also there's it's not even a likability about Ryan Reynolds is that he just is, the bar is low and he just so happens to pass the bar each time for multiple, not really like, it just, it's like, yeah, he's handsome enough. Yeah. He's funny enough. Is he the most handsome? Is he the most funny? No, but he is enough that it'll suffice for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. Seriously.
Which was a read. So I apologize, but. Here I am,
well,
you know.
All right, two more things real quick.
Yes.
Madison from Peter's season, engaged after just a few months to her billionaire boyfriend, photo spread in People magazine.
Wow. She's going to have sex for the first time.
She's
going to
have sex for the first time. I am worried about People magazine. Was this money well spent paying for those photos? I mean, come on.
Oof. Well,
yes, we're talking about it, but this is a Bachelor podcast, so that's why.
That's true. But I do think they're into covering the Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor Nation, if you will, because there are enough people who are interested in it. And it's kind of low hanging fruit at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maddie's like posted a lot about it since. I don't know why I'm calling her Maddie. She's always been Madison to me. I think it's just like somehow it's been implanted in my mind. Anyway. She's been posting a lot about it. I wonder if this marriage could last. On the one hand, I'm like, Absolutely not. They just met. But on the other, some people just like don't get divorced. And I could see Madison being a person who doesn't get divorced.
Oh, total. I mean, from all indications of who she is as a person. I mean, not that I know who she is as a person, but
yeah, from what we know about her.
Yeah, exactly. I can definitely see that. But I mean, you know, happy for them. Good luck, I guess. I just also it's really funny because like you bring up, for some reason, you saying Madison brought up another Instagram kerfuffle, if you will, when she, remember, was discovered that she was,
yes.
She had a secret Instagram, a Finsta, where she was saying like, Maddie, you are so real.
Genuine and real.
Genuine and real.
So that's so funny. Good. So good. And lastly, one more friend of the pod shout out, Sam Rollins, who's been on the show before, wrote a lengthy
two
profile.
Friends of the pod.
Yeah, of Elongale, another recent friend. I would say it's in Bustle. Check it out. You know, she points to that the Bachelor's really changed since Elon left, which a lot of people have been saying for a while. And I think it's true myself. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, there's also some other factors, but I do think like he had a very specific approach and the leads always really liked him and the contestants too.
So
and
true.
It's definitely worth reading. And I also want to mention it because F Boy Island season 2 just wrapped. And yeah. Have you watched that?
Yes.
Did you watch all of it?
I'm on the second to last episode. So Okay. Almost there. If you want to spoil me, I don't care. That's fine.
No, I haven't finished it, but I want to ask you.
Yeah.
What is one lesson that The Bachelor or Bachelorette with its dual leads could learn from FY Island, which has three leads?
I mean, I don't really think there is anything to learn because...
Okay.
I think they're kind of doing it in the way... it is interesting that there was never any drama between... Because there are three leads. And there was only... I don't even think there were like 20 guys even. There were maybe like 16 guys or something. Or maybe there were 20, but it wasn't...
Didn't feel like a ton.
Exactly. And
you could
remember
all of them.
Right. And they knew right off the bat who was paired up with who, and no one, there was no switching of anything. And I think that also has to do with that half the guys there are there for the wrong reason and they want the money. So they're going
to kind
of hone in on one girl and try to work her, you know? So I think there's that element to it. But really, no trading of suitors there, which I find interesting. And maybe there was and we just didn't see it. I don't know.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm going to watch that too. I mean, I've heard it's a really good season. So I'm going to catch up.
Yeah.
It's on
fun.
HBO Max.
It is on HBO Max. Yeah.
For now, at least.
For HBO now.
Max. Right. HBO Max is like removing shows. It's very
strange. Know. So you got to watch it now. Now or never.
Get on it, people.
Yeah.
I think that's it on our news and notes, bits and bobs roundup. Amelia.
Love it.
Thank you so much for joining me. This was really fun.
Thank you.
Once again, I just want to say, Jessie can speak French. We get it. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to Devin Manzi for producing this episode. Callie and I will be back on Monday night, as per usual. And I hope you got a great weekend. Don't forget to check out the Ringer Reality TV podcast for so much more reality TV coverage. Also, if this is of interest to you, I appeared on The Town with Matt Bellany to talk about Will Smith. That was earlier in the week, so check that out. And that's it. Hope you're not sick of my voice. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.